This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Tuesday morning to you. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Coming up on the show today, we'll continue to dissect Super Bowl 55. You know, like polishing the edges, if you will, of the game as the accolades keep pouring in for Tom Brady and the accomplishment of what he did going to Tampa and winning the title. We'll also look at Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Where do they go from here? Probably right back to the Super Bowl 12 months from now. But the Chiefs do have some issues. We'll also talk about some Super Bowl commercials. We'll have some fun with that. I don't do that normally on Monday. I mostly concentrate on the game. But we do have some fun with the Super Bowl commercials, and we'll talk about that. But we'll also get into Brady, because obviously, the GOAT conversation is just ratcheted up. But I feel like we do this all the time when he goes to the Super Bowl, especially late in his career. When he beat the Atlanta Falcons, there was a GOAT conversation. Even when he got to the Super Bowl and lost to the Eagles, there was still a GOAT conversation because he was continuing going to the game. It was definitely prevalent in the week in Atlanta leading up to the game against the Rams. And then multiply that by 100 this past last week when we in Tampa gearing up for Super Bowl 55. But it, you know, listen, I know that there are still people kind of looking at the NFL and quarterbacks and looking at Tom Brady and how does he compare with the, in terms of just looking like a quarterback, to John Elway and some of the greats of the past, Dan Marino and Joe Montana and all of that. And do the Super Bowl titles just automatically do that? Well, there are two different ways to look at somebody who wins championships and somebody who is considered the greatest of that sport. The two don't go hand in hand. We say this all the time when it comes to LeBron or Kobe or Michael, and even in other sports. You don't have to win all the championships to be the best. But Brady does have numbers and the titles and longevity to make him a clear runaway for greatest of all time. We'll get into that coming up next. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. And coming up, the two sides of a coin to the greatest of all time as we continue with Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, temperatures vary throughout the day, so taking your temperature just in the morning isn't enough. Make sure a new family habit is in store with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Take the temperature before dinner and in the morning. It's the number one thermometer used by and recommended by hospitals, doctors, and nurses, the Exergen Temporal Scanner. All right, so listen, we've had a conversation about Tom Brady being the greatest of all time. Almost feels like the last, I don't know, three or four Super Bowl appearances that he's been in. I mean, like I said, during the week leading up to the loss to the Eagles, it was a conversation. It was a conversation in Houston when he went there to face the Atlanta Falcons, the Rams in Atlanta. And of course, I mean, it's just going to be thrown into overdrive when he goes to a brand new team at 43 years old and leads them to a Super Bowl, especially going through Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers to get to the game and then beating Patrick Mahomes in the game. But a lot of people kind of conflate the two. We've had this conversation in basketball for a number of years, right, where Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time. And in order for Kobe Bryant back in his day to seem to get into the conversation, he needed to get six rings. But even if he got six rings, it wasn't 6-0 like Michael Jordan. And LeBron James is in that process now, too. And the two don't go hand in hand. Tom Brady is not the greatest of all time because he's won seven Super Bowls. I mean, he's been in the league 20 years. He's the NFL leader in touchdown passes. He's second in the NFL in passing yards. So he has statistical numbers back up his greatness at that position. Now he also has the seven Super Bowl championships. So I don't even know why we can consider we still have this sort of argument. It should have been settled a while ago. But nevertheless, the two don't go hand in hand. I mean, you look at the NBA, for example. And I say this a lot. I mean, I think when you talk about greatest ever, it's very generational, and I don't want to dismiss that because there is going to be people from different types of eras that are going to say it was better in my day. We tend to do that a lot. But in the NBA, Bill Russell has 11 championships. He doesn't seem to get in the same kind of conversation as LeBron, Kobe, and Michael, right? Or even back in when I was growing up and it was Larry and Magic, right? Bill Russell's 11 rings are an accomplishment I don't think anybody's ever going to get in the modern NBA. It's a different time when you play in the sort of dynasties in the sports, but he's not in the same conversation when we talk about where Michael Jordan has taken the game and where Michael Jordan is in the status of the game. Who's the greatest hockey player of all time? It's Wayne Gretzky. The statistics are insane. They're anomalies. They don't make sense. You have to look them up because you wouldn't believe them if you were told them. But did he win the most Stanley Cups in his career? No. Henry Richard won the most Stanley Cups. He has 11 playing for the Montreal Canadiens. Different time, right? Where teams could easily win title after title after title after title. In fact, Gretzky never won a title outside of Edmonton. Once he left the Oilers, his name was never engraved on the cup again. But it's insane, the statistics that he put up in his career. Again, mind-boggling, would make you shake your head. Yogi Berra won 10 World Series trophies. When we talk about the greatest baseball players of all time, right? And that individual, you can go through a whole list of people who are on that list, right? Some people think it should be pitchers. Some people think it's Joe DiMaggio. Babe Ruth is always in the conversation near the top, right? I mean, Willie Mays. There's a whole bunch of people that are considered the greatest baseball player of all time. Sit at a round table with people from all sorts of generations and discuss who's the best baseball player who ever lived. Is Yogi Berra on that list? He is not on that list, but he caught a wave in a Yankee dynasty. What you're seeing is those athletes were able to play at a time where those leagues were sort of welcoming in a team that could dominate. It wasn't that hard to build a super team and dominate and continue to win championships. The free agent movement wasn't quite available. The ability to create super teams, the ability to bounce around, the ability to bring in free agency. Those things were amiss. So teams could rack up 11 NBA championships, 11 Stanley Cups, Yogi Berra's Yankees winning 10 World Series championships. But it even extends into golf, right? When you think about who's the greatest champion of golf, it's Jack Nicklaus with 18 majors. But you can make the argument that Tiger Woods is the greatest golfer who ever lived. Nicklaus always had a rival, whether it was Arnold Palmer and Gary Player and Lee Trevino and Tom Watson. Who's been Tiger Woods' foil? Who's been his arch enemy? Phil? No. They tried to do it with Sergio Garcia, but even by his own admittance, Garcia wasn't as good and could not live up to that challenge. Right. No matter who has come away as a young golfer that was going to emerge to take the mantle of Tiger Woods at his peak, nobody could do it. The 2000 U.S. Open at Pebble Beach is regarded as the greatest four rounds of golf in any tournament ever at any point. The way he won that tournament by a million, and nobody else broke par, and he was in double digits under par. But Nicklaus has more majors. It's the same thing with Brady, except don't overlook the numbers. You can be the greatest player and its greatest champion. Russell is the NBA's greatest champion, but he's not considered the greatest player. Henry Richard, NHL's greatest champion, he's not considered the greatest player. Yogi Berra, the same thing. Tiger Woods is the greatest golfer to a lot of people, and a lot of people would, the convincing arguments are overwhelming. But Jack Nicklaus is its greatest champion. Brady is the NFL's greatest champion. He has 7 Super Bowls, and no franchise has 7. The Steelers and the Patriots have 6. So he eclipses franchises in the record in the history of the game. But he has also got the numbers because of, one, his longevity, and two, his sheer talent to put him on that list anyway. What else are you looking for from Brady's career to not put him in the category of greatest of all time? Embarrassing Super Bowl losses? No. The Giants played 2 hell of a game to beat him, and beat him barely. He wasn't slaughtered like John Elway in his first three Super Bowls. Right? What else do we need to do? Why are we still putting the sort of unconvincing question mark around this? Is it statistics? Does he have to lead in every statistical category? Well, if he's in the top 10, I mean, just again, a longevity alone is going to put him near the top of some accumulation statistics. You play long enough, you're going to be on top in certain categories, right? I mean, he didn't play as long as Drew Brees, and he's right behind them in touchdown passes. I mean, passing yards, I should say. But so what? So he didn't have to throw as much as Drew Brees did. So, again, when we talk about these conversations, remember that the two don't necessarily go hand in hand. That you can win all the titles, be caught up in a wave at a time where it was very easy to do for a franchise. But then you can also look at it from the standpoint of, my God, 20 years playing a position where guys are begging to get out of this thing at 38, 37 years old. Can't wait to sort of be done with it. Can't wake up the same way. Can't get out of bed the same way. Takes a little longer to put the pants and the shirt on in the morning because the aches and pains are still there. And he's still chugging along. And even afterwards, Jim Nance didn't even, there wasn't even, think about this, a 43-year-old quarterback won the Super Bowl. And there wasn't even any question about whether or not he would come back. Like just, like, our reality has been warped by this guy. We should have been asking him, and any other person won the Super Bowl at 43, we would be going, is this it? This has got to be it, right? It's got to be it. You're done, right? It has to be.
How old was John Elway when he won his final
37.
One? 37. Yeah, that makes sense.
Right? 36, 37.
Peyton Manning was, what, 39?
Yeah, 38, 39. I mean, it's a conversation Jim Nance should have said, like, is this going to be it? Is this... He didn't even go because Brady's already set the stage. He's already set the narrative. I'm not done. I'm not finished. I'm not even close to finished in my mind. I still got a couple of years away before I'm starting that conversation. And that's the warping of the reality that Brady brings to the table. That the idea of a 43-year-old quarterback wins the Super Bowl, and we just automatically assume without even asking him that he's going to play next year. That's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. So again, what are you looking for those who are still hanging on to someone else? Who is that someone, and why does he eclipse a guy who's both the greatest champion and has statistical numbers to prove his greatness? Because to me, that debate doesn't make any sense, especially not now, especially with this extra narrative on top of what he did in New England. It's one of the reasons, and I went back a couple of years because I started putting the whole thing, this whole career, all of the things in perspective yesterday when I was sitting down at my computer, and I thought to myself, you know, I remember being on the big soapbox a couple of years ago demanding Brady not take the suspension for Deflategate. Don't take it. Don't ruin your legacy. Don't give your haters that out, right? Don't give your haters everything that you're going to do and continue to do. Don't give your haters this ammunition that because you took the suspension, you must have been guilty of cheating in the AFC Championship game. But you know what? That never came back like I thought it was going to come back. That never was the cannon fire that I thought it was going to be. It never was. I thought that would still be a topic as people were still hating this guy for what he did and still going, well, if he was guilty... Well, you know, if he wasn't guilty, why did he sit out? It never, ever manifested itself into that. All of the legal fights to finally give it up and say, fine, I'll sit out the four games. And Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, taking over the position for four games. And then he wins the Super Bowl. But I thought, man, this is not a good look. You never want to go down this road where people, because we simplify everything in this country. But for whatever reason, it did not stick. Because yesterday, nobody brought it up, right? Nobody brought it up when he beat the Rams. And I, to be honest with you, I don't think they brought it up the week that he went to and lost to the Eagles. It's remarkable. It's remarkable. And again, he's shaping and he's twisting the way we view things and changing it. All right, coming up, we'll have some fun with the commercials from the Super Bowl. Which one flopped? Which one were successful? At least in our minds. Hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. As we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Is your check engine light on? Don't ignore it. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. Let their professional parts people scan your vehicle for free. They'll retrieve the codes, discuss possible solutions, and even help you find a professional technician. If needed, they'll help you find a reputable repair facility or service center near you. You can visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Click on Find a Repair Shop. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so let's have some fun with these Super Bowl commercials. I said this yesterday, and maybe it's because I'm getting older. I just feel like the fun of the Super Bowl commercials don't seem to be around. Like, I remember loving commercials, and now I'm like, it feels like there's a creative vacuum in some of these.
Before we dive into the actual commercials, my first thought or my first complaint was the fact that Anheuser-Busch said they weren't coming out with any commercials.
Yeah.
And was that just, for Budweiser?
Because I asked that at my Super Bowl gathering. I said, I thought they were not, but I guess it's different.
I thought Bud Light was under the Anheuser-Busch label. And I also thought, the new Bud Light seltzer thing was under the end. And both of them, there's two commercials.
Yeah, I would assume that. I mean, if they're saying we're not advertising Budweiser, I get it. Okay, maybe it's a separate, marketing budget for different brands I guess.
But we even made such a big deal. It's like, for the first time in 37 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Then we see two Bud Light commercials, like, what is this?
You would think they would have gotten a grandfather discount, right?
Oh, like, of course, yeah.
Just for all of the money that they've spent over the years to the various networks.
Yeah, everyone else is paying $5 million. You get it for $500,000.
Exactly. But, I know there were – I feel like this with the Super Bowl commercials. There were some that stood out and memorable, but I don't really remember – anyone that was just over the top awesome, including the Bruce Springsteen Jeep ad that everybody in my party paused and stopped talking to watch because somebody said, "Oh, this is the ad that everyone's been talking about." So we all watched that.
Yeah, I kind of forget it already.
But yeah, I mean, it was another sappy, let's all come together, political leaning ad that Jeep was putting out. But nevertheless, I mean, it was good to have the boss, I guess, narrating a spot. One spot that I was kind of blown away by, and I actually commented on this, was the Edward Scissorhands commercial.
Yes.
So, I remember Edward Scissorhands to me was a movie I saw once and then never saw again.
Yeah.
All right. I never saw it
again. That's fair.
I'm not a fan of it. I didn't think it was awesome. I thought it was cool. It was fine, but it's not a cult classic to me. Like, my friend, we don't talk about how great the movie was. So, okay, it was cool to see Winona Ryder in this sort of, this sort of sequel, if you will, to life after Edward Scissorhands. It wasn't until the end that it was a Cadillac commercial, and they were advertising a self-driving car.
Right.
Like, if you're advertising a self, you wasted however long that was, you wasted that length minus 5 seconds on Edward Scissorhands. And the comedy that where he's like, oh, I'm going against a fence, and I'm to tell us you have a self-driving car on the market. Well, that's great. Like, that should have been front and center.
No, that one bothered me because there was one part in that commercial where one of the guys was like, hey, and I don't know if it was his name Edward. I'm not even sure.
Right.
And he throws him the football. Like, you don't know what's going to happen, and then they're all shocked that he popped the football.
Right. He's got hands of scissors.
He's got scissor hands. Come on, guys.
I mean, he's not going to catch your football. He's going to kill.
That movie still, I mean, even this many years later, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, that was the other thing, because I was in with a bunch of people my age, and we were like, oh, is Edward Scissorhands still a thing that you would go, wow, look at that? Because Wayne's World tried it, and I thought that commercial flopped.
I really didn't want it to.
I didn't either, because I love those guys. I thought that was one of the coolest Saturday Night Live skits of my youth.
Well, wasn't
and I thought
only
the
that,
movie was pretty good.
I had watched, they were on Jimmy Fallon, and there's a little clip you can watch of, when they're with Jimmy Fallon, and you should see the chemistry between them. It's like, oh my God, guys, come out with a new movie. This would be fantastic. I would watch it. But then watching that commercial, I'm like, oh, maybe not.
You know, would it have been better if they didn't take the two very old guys and made them the same character in the same time? Or maybe make them older?
No, I think...
Because
I felt
like they were trying to be like, we're still those guys from the 90s, but we just look different.
Well, I think they would be. Let's face it. I think they, if you know... Wayne and Garth would grow up to still be doing shows out of Wayne's mom's basement.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't think there was any ever real direction.
I don't know. It felt like the two guys were mailing it in and just like, give us the money. We'll promote whatever we're promoting. And I don't even remember what they were promoting.
Yeah, I don't either. Oh, Uber Eats.
Oh, Uber Eats. That's right. See, there you go. And by the way, oat milk. I didn't know there was such a thing as oat milk. And the CEO is singing about oat milk. And then... It's a cheesy commercial made to be cheesy, but I don't think it landed.
No, I thought for me, my one of my favorites was that Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah,
commercial.
That was very good. That was funny. That was really funny.
You know, and even the follow up one with where it's Adam Levine and Blake Shelton and
Gwen Stefani. Yeah, that's even good.
That's clever writing.
That's very clever. I like that one. I thought that was good. What about
the two Tracy Morgan spots for Capital? Rocket Mortgage.
Where it's almost.
Yeah.
That was the term, and they push. Yeah. These are almost parachutes or something.
Yeah,
that's pretty funny. What about? I liked. There was one where Samuel Jackson was giving a speech
as a cartoon.
And Juju Smith-Schuster swallowed him up with a shark, like Deep Blue Sea. Because I've said this on the show many times, Deep Blue Sea is one of those movies. When I see it on, I watch it from wherever it is to the end. I don't know why I like Deep Blue Sea. I just do. I think it's hilarious. I think the sharks are great. I think that scene with Samuel Jackson is one of the funniest, shocking scenes I've seen in cinema history, where he's given the typical rah-rah speech and then whomp. It's fantastic. I thought that was really good.
I was bothered by the Matthew McConaughey.
That was a little creepy, right?
That was a little weird, because at first I didn't realize that was Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
It took a second, and then I'm like, oh, wait, that's him.
Yeah.
And I didn't, yeah.
That was a little weird.
I don't know. I mean, it was like, okay, 3D Doritos are coming back. Did we really need that in our life?
Why? I don't think I've ever eaten 3D Doritos.
I don't think I have either.
I kind of just like the triangle Doritos. I think those are fine.
Yep. Eat from the bottom, though.
What do you think about the heat Dolly Parton's ad is getting now? Because it was an ad for a website, Squarespace. Well, you can make your own website and do a side hustle, and people are not liking it because the idea of a side hustle is like, is that what life is now? We have to work full time and find a side hustle to make ends meet.
You got to.
I think I might be digging too deep into the ad. I don't think they're saying like, you know, like you need a side hustle to basically buy groceries and pay the bills. She's basically, the ad is to say, look, you work 9 to 5. Maybe your job isn't that awesome, but a side hustle could be a lot of fun. And here's a site to do it. So work 5 to 9. Right. But I think people were like, I got to work 5 to 9 now, like on top of my 9 to 5.
You know, you're in a pandemic. Where are you going?
I mean, where are you going, right?
So why not make a little extra cash?
Why not do a side hustle? You know, why don't you get a website and do something different?
Stop binge watching.
Yeah, right?
That's what the premise of the commercial was. Stop binge-watching. Just get out there and work more.
What other commercials caught your fancy? Anything else? Did you like the trailer for Old, the one M. Night Shyamalan movie?
I'm a fan. I am a
fan. You like
M.
Night Shyamalan?
I'm a fan of M. Night Shyamalan.
The last couple movies really were awful.
Well, yeah. I think that's the issue I'm running into. They're coming a little too predictable, so I'm hoping that this one's a little different.
He's weird. Like, the last couple of movies that I've watched, I didn't like, but it doesn't stop me from being curious as to what he's offering next.
Also looking for that big twist at the end. See if you can figure it out. That's why, I mean, they're only good one time.
That's right. They really are. You're totally right. They truly are. All right, coming up next, we talked about Brady, but Mahomes is getting a lot of praise for his performance.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
On Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. By the way, today's show brought to you by The Athletic, delivering every sports story that matters. Local full-time writers that's covering your teams, but also the national names you know and love, like Robert Mays and Stuart Mandel and David Aldridge and Lindsey Jones. They provide unrivaled league-level perspective and insight. It's all personalized and ad-free. It's great. You go, you set your teams. Your opening page is the news of the day for all of your teams. Whether you're looking for a fantasy football edge for next season, the NBA outlook as they head to the playoffs, college basketball, they've got the sports coverage you need. Subscribe today, $3.99 a month at theathletic.com/GOW. That's at theathletic.com/GOW. Get all of their coverage, just $3.99 a month at theathletic.com/GOW. All right, so we spent the early part of this hour talking about, look, people are opening up their warm appreciation and, you know, the fuzzies for Tom Brady for winning this Super Bowl. I think that even the haters are finally going, okay, you know, I hated you when you were in New England, but my God, this is unbelievable what you've done.
Not all, though. I had a friend on Facebook who was like,
I've had those going off
about him being a cheater. And I'm like, can't we just sit back and just say, you know what, this is amazing.
Yeah. I still have those two. I mean, I'm in some Steelers groups where they still can't stand
him. That's who it is.
And,
he's a Steelers fan.
You know. I mean, one guy put anybody who likes Tom Brady is not a true Steeler fan. I'm like, don't make those kind of assessments. Don't make those kind of judgments. I appreciate Brady. He's basically killed plenty of dreams. Listen, from day one, I remember when the Steelers went to the 2001 AFC Championship game, which was played in 2002, but that 2001 season. I remember as leading into that game, my friends were telling me, hey, man, congrats going to the Super Bowl. Because it just felt like the Steelers would win against a Brady-led Patriots team that just barely got by Oakland and needed a tuck rule to do so. I mean, like, my friends were already conceding the fact that my team was going, and then they didn't. They got beat. So that killed that dream and plenty others. The Ben Roethlisberger year where they went 15-1 and lost in the AFC title game. Lost in the AFC championship game a couple years ago. I mean, the guy's slaughtered plenty of dreams for Steelers fans, but it's still amazing. On the flip side, since we've had the 24 hours plus to process the Super Bowl, I saw it as the day increased. The appreciation for what Patrick Mahomes did in that game really started to generate some speed. The more people really thought about that crappy offensive line that he had and what he was able to do. Once people, the statistic of, because Next Gen Stats put out the statistic that Mahomes ran 497 yards away from pressure throughout the whole game. He ran 500 yards around, just running around like a crazy person trying to get away from the pressure. And flinging the ball as he's leaning and horizontal and his receivers dropping them. And this is one of those blowout losses where the quarterback would shoulder the blame 99% of the time, right? We gave it to John Elway when he got blown out in those Super Bowls. That's what happens. Jim Kelly got the same treatment too when the Cowboys, even though, you know, the Cowboys demolished them in Super Bowl 27. Right, that's what we do, right? But Patrick Mahomes, I don't know, it's because people still love the guy, he's a very likable athlete, but I think for many people watching him in that game and went, this guy has got nothing, absolutely nothing. The play calling isn't good, the pressure is too much, his offensive line is a sieve, and he's running like a mad dog. He just can't catch a break. The appreciation for what he did in that losing effort, I think, is now going to be part of Mahomes' legacy. Can you picture, Ron, in a couple of years, if Mahomes has some hardware, like some serious Super Bowl hardware, maybe not seven, but like three, maybe four, when he's in his like mid-30s, and people pointing to this one Super Bowl and go, yeah, and then the one that he lost, he was throwing the ball while he was in the air, horizontal, and his receivers weren't catching them. Or, yeah, it's hard to do anything when your offensive line decides not to show up for a game.
That's what I was saying. You know, I'm surprised that his fiancée didn't come out and go, hey, you can't throw and catch the ball, too.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, this Super Bowl loss, I think, can be polished up a bit for his legacy. Right? Like, yeah, you can't win them all, but the one he didn't lose, that he lost to Tom Brady way back in the day, my God, he played a hell of a game. At least he tried to. That was a terrible Chiefs performance, but the quarterback played his socks off.
Or is it going to be the other way where they're always going to go, yeah, he's a great one, but he didn't beat the GOAT.
That's true. That's another angle that you could take from this Super Bowl, right? You know, it's another angle that you could take.
That's what we always want, right? We want LeBron to take on Michael.
Yep.
And just settle it once and for all. Or we want, name your greatest pitcher, Nolan Ryan, to face off against Babe Ruth to determine who's the best baseball player ever. I mean, stupid things like that can't happen.
As I've said many times, listen, when I was young, when I got into this business, I was working at a station in New Hampshire, and I was a producer and call screener for a nightly sports show that we did. Well, I worked for a news talk station, and we did a sports show at night leading up to like Red Sox coverage or whatever, Celtics coverage, whatever we were carrying at night. And it was hosted by a different person every night, and I worked all the show throughout the week. And eventually I wanted to be one of the guys that was in the show, and I remember getting an opportunity. But when I was sitting down with my PD, he was like, don't rely on cliches. Cliches are terrible. Come up with something different, right? Like, come up with a different way to say it. So I've always been part of my way to do it. I don't like cliches. I really try not to lean on them. So I don't like the cliche when people say, in order to be the champ, you have to beat the champ. Because that's not true. That is a not true statement. You can be the champ without ever going through the former champion. In this case, though, there's a thread of truth to it, though. There's a thread of truth that if we're going to look at Mahomes and say, well, he's going to be the next greatest of all time, this is going to come back, right? This one little facet of his journey to that is going to come back. Like imagine a conversation where Mahomes is the leader in all these statistical categories. He's 37, 38. He's found a way to play a long time. He's got a lot of championships, right? So he's the leader in these statistical categories. He's got a whole bunch of trophies, Super Bowls, not seven, but enough to sort of put him in this conversation of like, well, look at all these accolades. This is going to come back, right? This will come back. Like, well, I mean, at the one time that he went and played the greatest of all time, he didn't win. In fact, he got blown out 31-9.
Right.
Like, that does become part of the narrative. Like, and again, like, go to golf, for example. The one reason I don't like the cliche is Tiger Woods didn't have to beat Jack Nicklaus at anything, right? He didn't have to beat him head-to-head. They were two different eras, right? That's just the way it is. So I think that Mahomes still has this opportunity ahead of him. Listen, I think there is a... he's not going to be Fran Tarkington forever, right? I mean, eventually he's going to have to figure out a way. If he's going to have a long career, he's not going to be able, he can't run 500 yards when the offensive line is porous. Like, eventually he's going to have to navigate how he's going to play this position if he's going to play it for a long time. Maybe he doesn't want to play it for a long time, right? It feels like Brady seems to be the only one wanting to do this at 43 and 44 and 45. I mean, a lot of other guys may have wanted to, but their body was like, no, not at all. We are not doing this at all. Stop. But Brady, like, as I said, earlier, we didn't even have a conversation about his retirement at the end of the game. Like, there was no round table on ESPN going, is Tom Brady coming back? We didn't do that because nobody believes that he's going to retire at all. In fact, even Jim Nance didn't even ask him a real question about it. In fact, he answered the question for him at the end of the Super Bowl, saying, yeah, you're gonna keep doing this, aren't you, Tom? Right? And Brady goes, yeah, I'm coming back. Right? I mean, it just was a given that he was going to still do this. But Mahomes could still have one of those careers where he retires at 37, 38 and still has this remarkable year, remarkable career that gets close to these kind of numbers that Brady's putting up. Maybe not exceeding them, but close. But this loss could still be brought up by the old timers, right? Like us. Like, we'll be on rocking chairs going, I told you, kids, Tom Brady, you never appreciated him when you were younger. You just took it for granted that he would win Super Bowls because that's the way it's going to be. That's going to be like my son, to be honest with you. Like, my son, his whole life.
Yes.
Like, his whole life has been Tom Brady.
Trying to explain to my son, was like, you know, I mean, he legit asked me, he's like, Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback ever, right, Dad? And I'm like, I have to preface it this way. It's like, I'm coming around to it because the greatest to me growing up was Joe Montana.
So what is it about Montana that Brady doesn't have?
I mean, the only thing I could think of at this moment is regular season. But Joe Montana, I mean, he was a good quarterback during the regular season. He didn't do anything spectacular. I mean, when he retired, he didn't have all the records. And I think it's just the way we grew up.
I agree with you. Listen, I'm a Montana guy. I was a Montana guy for a long time, only because, again, my formative years in this sport, I used to make the joke that, you know, because I used to root against Montana, right? Like, Montana, I didn't want Montana to get four Super Bowls because I wanted Bradshaw to be the only one, right? So I was always rooting against Montana. And plus, my father was a Giants fan, so, like, they would play the Giants. Yeah. And I was kind of rooting for that. But Montana was, like, the first quarterback I saw as a kid where when he delivered the pass and the camera would move to see who it would go to, I knew in that split second it was going to be complete.
Right.
Like, it was like he would throw it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, there is the receiver, whoever it was, whether it was, you know, it really didn't matter who it was.
And he was really the first quarterback you knew that if there's 2 minutes left in the game and they need to score, he's going to get it for you.
He's going to get it, right, exactly. I mean, from Jerry Rice to Ronaldo Nehemiah, for crying. I mean, it didn't matter who was on the other end of the pass. It was going to get caught. Dwight Clark, it didn't matter. Like, somebody on the other end, there was going to be a 49er on the other end. John Taylor, that was going to catch that ball. That's what it was. So I'm with you. I still cling to that.
And that's what I do. But then you sit back and you really got to think about it, like, okay, why am I not anointing Tom Brady, who has done things that we'll never see again?
I don't think you'll see a team go 16-0, right? No, he did it during the regular season, and he's got it.
I think we might see that.
I don't know, man. I really don't. I think it's harder than people make it out to be.
I have no doubt about that. But I'm because that why
team,
I'm saying that
team almost lost a number of times during the regular season.
Yeah, the only reason why I'm saying that is because of Carolina Panthers. That one season.
They went 15-1. Yeah.
That's why. It can happen to anybody.
I think it's really hard. I think there's a resting factor that you want to do as a coach at the end when you have things wrapped up. So you kind of hope that you can get an extra week where you don't have to play in week 17. But if you're on a 15-0 record going into that final game, you'd be like, all right, let's play everybody so we can win this one and set a record. Right? But Brady's, I mean, just the list is just so long of things.
And he has Gretzky type records in with postseason play. I don't think they're untouchable.
Exactly.
Especially Super Bowl records. Ridiculous.
All right. On Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. It is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Sports Map Radio. Coming up next hour, Shalice Monza-Young from Yahoo Sports will talk NFL and a little bit of the Super Bowl. We'll also get into Andy Reid's son's situation. Distraction is a word we use a lot. Did it possibly affect the Chiefs? We'll discuss coming up in hour number two. And plus, we have the good, the bad, and the dumb. This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can. It's the Super Bowl's now done. The season has been complete. Kudos to everybody in the league for getting it done and getting it done on time. I keep saying this, and I've been saying this for a while. I was shocked because I did assume that COVID would infiltrate this league in a capacity that would make us delay and move and shuffle weeks, not just games, you know, to Tuesday. I meant like we're playing this thing sometime in late February. Yeah. I mean, I really thought we were going to be doing that when this season kicked off in September.
I don't think we had a doubt in our mind that they would finish the season.
No doubt.
Just shocked that they actually finished it on time.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if I was a betting guy and you said February 7th, Super Bowl, I would have been like, I don't know. That's the week between the championship games. Okay, they might get it on the 7th. But you know what? I don't know. I think we're going to have a week 18 and we're going to be pushing things back. And
yeah.
Since there was, and people forget this, there was a contingency plan to move the Super Bowl. I know there were a lot of people believed that February 7th was it and that's all. No, the NFL had a buffer with Raymond James Stadium and the city of Tampa. They had a window to move that game at down the road if they had to. They built that into the schedule. That would have happened. But, I mean, they did it. Yes, it was really shaky at times. I think what happened to the Denver Broncos, I feel bad because I kind of forgot the kid's name, but nevertheless, I think it's historic. I think it's why they wanted his gear for the Hall of Fame. When you tell the story of the coronavirus 2020 football season, what happened to Denver going to a practice squad wide receiver who once played quarterback in college to be the starting quarterback within a 24-hour window, I think it pretty much tells the one of huge part of the COVID story.
Yeah, I forgot that happened this year.
I know, right? It's hour two coming up next in a wake-up call.